Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have been serving radio listeners since 1936. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be shared at the close of the service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We are comforted when people tell us that they are praying for us. How much greater is the news that Jesus is praying for us? We're going to discuss this in the sermon today, and we hope you'll continue to stay tuned to this station. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that our relationship with you can be so personal, that we hear you saying to us in your word this day, I'm praying for you. God, you know that we live in a world that is filled with temptations and trials. You also know that our strength is inadequate to face any of these deals. But when we hear that you're praying for us, then, O God, there's confidence and security. So may we sense your presence with us at all times. Be with us to the end, O God, that we hear your word, not only speaking to the ears of our head, but to the ears of our soul on this blessed day. For we ask it in your holy name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 9. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am going to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scriptures would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within me. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth, for your word is truth. Here ends a reading of God's holy word. You're in my prayers. Those are the comforting words that parents often speak to a son or daughter who are leaving home. Parents know the dangers and the temptations that their children will face. They also realize that they can no longer walk with them. And so they say, "We'll be praying for you." These are the words that are often spoken as we leave the bedside of a friend or relative who is very ill. The prognosis is not good, and we feel such limitation when it comes to anything that we're able to do. But then come these words from the Christian heart: "Remember this, we're praying for you." These are the words that are spoken by a son or a daughter to mother who now has to make the adjustment after father's death. They have been home for the funeral, and they're about to leave. Going to be different around the house without him. But they say, "Mom, we'll call you often, but more than that, you'll always be in our prayers." It's comforting, isn't it, to know that people are praying for us. But stop and think of it, friend. We have this tremendous news today that comes to us right from God's holy word, where none other than Jesus Christ himself is saying, "I'm praying for you." So today we think of it from this standpoint, that we are in Jesus' prayers. Our text is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. You can divide this chapter into three parts. The first part deals with Jesus and his relationship to the Father. The second part, he's praying for the apostles. And the third part, he's praying for the believers in the days that are to come. That means you and me. Now, perhaps we should have gone to part three, where he specifically speaks for us, but the assigned text for today is part two, where he deals with his prayer for the apostles. I'm thoroughly convinced that what the Lord Jesus prayed for the apostles back in the first century, he is praying for those of us who are his disciples in the 21st century. So I'd like to take this word, study it a little bit and make the applications when we understand once again that Jesus Christ is praying for us. We are in his prayer. In verse 9 of this marvelous chapter in the Gospel of St. John, he utters these words, "I pray for them." And then he goes on in verse 14 and he says, "I am giving them your word. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world." In other words, Jesus said, "I have trained them. I have been with them. I have given them the word. And that word is a message that the world of which they are a part, today nor in the future, will not appreciate. And as a result of that, they will often hate those who are the carriers of that word." Well, what is that word? And basically, let's just summarize it into two or three very, very important parts. The first thing that he had taught them is that I am the Savior of the world. That I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am not only just a man, but that I am the God that has come into this world, the God incarnate, the God who walks on this earth, and that I am the one through whom men and women can be granted the forgiveness of their sins and the assurance that they are now restored into fellowship with God. I have gone so far to say to them that I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one will come to the Father except by me. Now, God, when they come with that message to the world, you know good and well that they're going to be hated, just as I was hated. And so they're in my prayers. That was for the first century apostles and the 21st century disciples. Besides that, they are people with different values, God. They don't concern themselves so much with the things of this world. Their purpose of living is quite different. They're not just here to eat, drink, and be merry. They're not just here to climb the social ladder. They're not here just to become financially affluent. They're here to do my will, and they're here to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And so when they come into the world, they will often experience hatred. And Jesus goes on to say to the Father, as he prays for first century apostles and 21st century disciples, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil ones." I think that's a passage of scripture that you and I need to take a look at often, friend. For there is something about wanting to shield ourselves from that which is very, very dangerous. Now, when we know that in the world we can have difficulty, perhaps one way to be faithful to God and still not experience this difficulty is to isolate ourselves from the world. The problem is that the Christian faith does not live in a cloister. And so Jesus has prepared them to face the world. And he has prepared us too, not in the same way. We have not had the privilege of walking with him for 3 years as they did, but we have the privilege to live with him in his word. And it is in that word that we get to know him in a very personal way, and it is in that word that we receive strength to go out into this world that hates the Father and would have nothing to do with the Son, Christ Jesus himself. Now, how do we do that? How are we prepared? What means does God use to prepare us to live in this world? And the one thing we know, as we have already stated, is he speaks to us through the word. So, he has given to us the Christian home. And Christian fathers and mothers take their children and prepare them to go out into the world. Fathers and mothers, grandmas and grandpas, if you're listening to me today, that's our task. We know what this world is. We read the newspapers. We have encounters with it ourselves. And we know that's where our children and our grandchildren are going. So from the time they are born until they leave our homes, it seems to me that we should have one great task, and that is to prepare those whom we love, these sons and these daughters, to walk in this world. Then we have the church, and the church is to supplement what the home does. In the church, we have the Sunday school that is true to the Word of God, we pray. In the church, we have confirmation classes in some denominations. In some places, people use the parochial schools. Others go to homeschooling. Some want to go to Christian colleges. They want to stay close to the Word of God as long as they possibly can. But ultimately, no matter how long the homeschooling is, no matter how long we are able to be in a protected environment, the day comes that we have to leave the protected environment and walk into this world. The disciples had to do that. There is no other way that we can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ according to God's plan into our world, but that those who are believers in Christ Jesus will walk in the world. And there in the world, there are these difficulties. How easy it would be. How much nicer it could be, perhaps, if we could live in a protected environment and only do those things that we want to do with those who believe as we do. But the world has never reached that way. We have to learn what it is to communicate in the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our Lord gives this general prayer. I am praying that you will keep them from the evil one. As we continue in this most interesting section of that 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, our Lord gives us two specific ways that we are kept. In verse 17, he prays to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In other words, what he is saying here is, speak to them, Father, through your word. And what I am praying is that they will have the discipline to open that word and to read it day in and day out, not only to acquire greater knowledge, but that your spirit may communicate with their spirit in order that when they meet the spirit of the world, they are able to say no. So sanctify them, Father. And sanctify here means more than separation from the world. It means dedication and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. May they live daily in the Word. Jesus is praying, friend. You're in his prayer. And the prayer that he's praying for you and for me today is, God, give them the understanding. God, give them the foresight. God, give them the discipline. God, give them the love to open up the Bible that is in their homes and read it themselves and teach it to those who abide in that home. And then he gives another specific that is extremely interesting and one that we need to hear. I am praying, Father, I am praying that they may be one as we are one. That is a unity. That is a oneness, the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ. In the hours of trial and temptation, how important it is that we have Christian friends. When we were raising our children, I don't think we were as aware as we are today as we watch our families raise their children in the importance of Christian friends. Now, you want your children, your grandchildren, to have a lot of friends, don't you? But pray that out of all of these friends they have, there may be some who are really, truly committed to Jesus Christ. If they have those kinds of friends, then it is that they have someone to whom they can turn when the going is extremely rough. In the church that I belong to at the present time, they have a fabulous youth program. And a big part of that program is that the kids who will become a part of it get into what they call lug groups. And they meet on a weekly basis with some friends. There's usually an adult there too. And they're able to unburden their souls. What's going on? Maybe there are things that they don't want to tell to father and mother, but they will let the lug leader know something about it. I've watched these young people. I've seen them blossom in the faith. I've seen them overcome some very, very difficult times, disappointing times, times when they really needed someone to make them secure. They knew that Jesus was praying for them, but they also knew that it was necessary for them to have some of Jesus' followers right there beside them. Not only true for our youth, it is also true for older people. Haven't you found the need of Christian friends During the course of my life, God has blessed me with a lot of wonderful friends. Sometimes we have a great opportunity to visit together and share a lot of the good things. But out of that masses of people, I've always tried to have two or three friends. Obviously, my wife would be the first one. But besides my wife, those outside of the household, to whom I could go and unburden my heart. Do you have that? Do you have a friend to whom you could call and say, I am really troubled? Satan is really after me. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what God's will is in this whole matter. But I know this, that I need to sit down and talk with you. And then as a brother and a sister in Christ Jesus, you can share those burdens that are on your heart. I believe that that is what Jesus is praying here in this prayer, that they may be one as we are one. Just see how he brought everything to the Father. Now we can bring the same to the Son. But our Lord Jesus also, while he was here as true man, unburdened himself often with his disciples, and he invites us to do the same. The unity of Christians for which Christ prays in this prayer goes far deeper than mere denominational unity. You know, I happen to belong to a particular denomination, and I have friends who belong to other denominations. If we were really honest, there are some things in the Christian faith that we do not see exactly alike, and that's why we are in different denominations. But there is a oneness that comes to us in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, friend, that some of my finest Christian fellowship is with those who know Jesus Christ, but who are in a different denomination. And we are one. Does the denominational line have to come down? I personally do not believe so. I don't get very concerned about it. The Church of Jesus Christ is bigger than anything like this. But the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned that our unity be found in the Savior. So, our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know today that he is praying for us. Doesn't that blow your mind? It is comforting to know that some other people are praying for us. In our hours of trial and temptation, we're anxious for that. But remember this, there's something far better, something that makes us far more secure. Not only is a God-fearing father and mother, a child, a friend, whoever it might be, praying for us in these difficult moments, but none other than Jesus Christ says today in his word, you're in my prayers. That warms our heart, and it gives us great confidence to know that Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has us on his prayer list. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the glorious opportunity that we have to proclaim this marvelous truth that Jesus Christ is praying for us. And so today, O God, we pray that you will strengthen us in our relationship with you. Help us to realize, O God, that we cannot walk on this earth alone and be successful. successful in being faithful to you. We cannot be your witnesses on our own power or strength. But God, when we hear that as you had the early apostles on the prayer list, so you have your church on the prayer list today. As we go into strange parts of the world, we ask, O God, that you will go with us, that you will not in any way shield us from that which could hurt us, but that you will empower us as we go to these spiritually dangerous places. And, O God, we know that can be as close as our own family and as far away as the most distant land. We ask your blessings also this day to rest upon those who are sick and shut in, those who grieve, O God, and only you know what is on their hearts. We pray for those who have broken homes, husband and wife separated, children suffering to some degree because of this situation. O Lord, be near them, sustain them, and when at times they feel alone, help them to know that you're praying for them. We pray for those who are in prison. Comfort them and strengthen them. Turn their lives around and help them to know that there is new hope. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the gospel message heard today will bring you peace and joy in the days to come. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry. We depend on you, our listeners, for financial support. We broadcast on 23 stations across the nation each week. The average cost of 1/2 hour of radio time is $100. Gifts of all sizes are welcomed by Christian Crusaders and are used to share the gospel message. We also ask for your prayers for our staff and ministry, that all we do will glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.